And so I appreciate you being here. Joshua chapter 14, if you got your Bibles with you today. Joshua chapter 14. And we're going to read about a Bible character, not a very common Bible character we hear about much. Growing up, he was one of my favorite Bible characters because someone told me about him. And so we're going to teach on him a little bit this morning. If you're there, Joshua chapter 14, and look at verse number 6. Now, as we get started, I always tell people this every single time I preach. I don't think I'll be long this morning, so stay with me. But you never know. This is a Baptist church, and I am a preacher, so things do happen. I don't think it's going to be long this morning, but stay with me if you would. Joshua chapter 14, and look at verse number 6. The Bible says this, "And the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh," there's a great name to name your children someday, "the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in," there's a big word, it starts with the letter K, verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart." Now, just as we're reading this, I want you to understand what we're reading here. Caleb has come to the leader of Israel, Joshua, and he's bringing up something that happened 40 years ago in his life. Of course, if you know the Bible story, you got the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, everyone, the children of Israel, were imprisoned by the Egyptians. And of course, God used Moses to deliver them out of the hands of Egyptians. Well, as they come out of Egypt, they're headed to God's promised land for the children of Israel. And of course, it was the land that God had prepared for them. It was the land where they were supposed to indwell. And you know the story very well. They got to the land that first time, and they sent spies into the land. And when those spies went in, remember the old children's song, 12 men went to spy in Canaan, 10 were bad, 2 were good. And as they go in, just as people, some people are negative, some people are positive, some of them went in, they saw the giants, they saw the fenced cities, they saw the walls, and they thought, no way, Jose, there's some bad hombres in that land, we cannot take that, there's no way. Caleb and Joshua, on the other hand, they come out and say, hey guys, God said it's our land, then we need to go into it. And so that's kind of the backstory here as we're reading here, Joshua chapter 14. Look at verse number 8, the Bible says this, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." Verse 9. "And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." This morning I want to talk to you on the subject of totally following. Totally following. Let's pray and we'll get into this morning. Dear Lord, we love you. God, I'm so grateful to be in your house this morning, Lord. I'm grateful that I get to stand before these people today and speak your word. Lord, there's other countries around this world that, God, they don't get to meet like this. God, they're meeting in homes, they're meeting in houses, Lord. They're afraid of the oppression outside around them, Lord. Praise the Lord that we live in America, God, where we have the freedoms to worship you the way we want and to worship you the way the Bible teaches us to. And so, Lord, as we're here this morning, help it not to be a waste. Help it to benefit each and every one of us. In your precious name, amen. Of course, we've been on this sermon series, Totality. And I realized after we made this sermon series title that totality is like one of the hardest words to put in any like sentence. Or I tried to have a title, Wes, with this. It didn't work out at all. But that word totality. And we had, how many of you were able to see totality? Talking about the lunar solar eclipse. How many of you saw totality? You were responding to totality. How many of you, you were not? You were at like the 99%, the 98%, raise your hand. That was me. I don't know why I did this. Okay, this is one of those immature moments, I guess, in my life, where someone's like, you know what, totality is awesome. And I thought in my mind, yeah, sounds great, cool, whatever. You know, some they're passing out those NASA glasses, right? I'm like, I don't need no NASA glasses. I got sunglasses. It'll be great. And I'm thinking, I don't need that. We were working here at the church on the morning of that happening. And I remember all of a sudden I saw this, you know, the moon start creeping over, right? And so all of a sudden I started getting excited. And I told myself, don't get excited, TJ. You're not even going to totality, so don't get excited. Next thing you know, I'm going in. I'm taking my wife's glasses. Like, hey, you know, honey, where's those glasses at? I'm out there in the front yard of the church looking at that thing. And once again, I regret to inform you, I didn't see totality. I saw the 99%. I'll tell you this, though. I did take my glasses off, and I did stare at it without my glasses. It brought tears to my eyes, but it was well worth it. I had to look at it. I might have eye cancer now, but I did it. I was able to see the 99% without the glasses, so I feel good about that. But as that was going on, what was amazing about that whole situation was how that impacted everyone around. How many of you got caught in the traffic around that? Oh my word. It was from Malala. It was like 10 hours. 10 hour long line. I mean, it never ended. I was here working all day and I'm just like, it just was a constant flow. I had soccer practice that day. I was coaching soccer and we had scheduled a soccer practice. I'm telling you, it was like 10 guys showed up like 30 minutes late. Coach, they're all texting me. Coach, I'm in traffic. Coach, I'm in traffic. Coach, I'm coming. Don't kill us. I'm thinking, you're dead. We're all going to run. Just the traffic backed up. Crazy, the impact that took place. Somebody was telling me about hotel rooms. They were selling for like $800, $900 a room. Terrible if you're renting the room. Great if you own a hotel. Great if you own a hotel. The impact that the restaurants. What about the city? Someone showed me a city that only has a couple, you know, 100 people in it, the population, but yet during that eclipse, they were in totality in the city. They had like an aerial shot. There were so many cars, you couldn't even count them, of the thousands and thousands of people that had come in to see that. And you know, as we think about this subject of totality, what's amazing is that the impact that it had on all those around. And as we thought about totality in the Christian life, I thought about this. You know, if we will totally sell out for God, it's amazing the impact that Christians could have for our Lord. It's amazing the impact that if we would be sold out and following God, what a Christian could do to impact the world around us. I thought, you know, how amazing would it be if the hundreds and hundreds of people that call Grandview Baptist Church their home, every time they went to the grocery store, would just invite one person to church. Whoa, you don't think that would make an impact? I thought about the hundreds and hundreds of people who go to Grandview Baptist Church that if they would just invite one person they worked with to come to a service, how great an impact that could be. How great an impact that would be. And I thought about all these things and I thought, you know what, if we're going to live in totality, it's amazing the impact that God will do through a Christian. I run a bus ride every Sunday morning, except for this morning, because I was preaching 8:30 service, and hopefully they survived on that bus. I put my wife in charge. Hopefully she doesn't hate me right now. All those bus kids going crazy. I've been running that bus for about 3 years. I remember the first week I took it, I had no idea who rode on the bus, if any kids even came on the bus. I had one worker, his name was Lane Odell, Brother Gary's son, and I said, Lane, I need you to take me to every house where we pick up people. Brother Jeremiah, the list was very short. And I'm thinking, oh boy. He took me to a house, and even to this day, we still call it the Red Door House. It has a red door, as you can imagine. Wouldn't it be funny, though, if we called it Red Door and it was purple? Anyway, Red Door. I went, and Lane told me, said, Brother TJ, he said, there's kids that come out of this house every once in a while. It's a house that we pick up from. You need to, you know, check this house. So every Saturday, for about 2 months, I would go to that Red Door, and I'd knock on that Red Door. I had my bus flyer, and for 2 months, I never saw a single person. You know, I'm starting to think, does anyone even live here? Like, is this an abandoned house? Did the kids that used to live here move? Every Saturday, I'm putting that flyer in a door. On Sunday, what else do you do? I don't know if anyone lives there, but I came back every Sunday for those 2 months. Sunday morning, knocking on the door, no one comes. For 2 or 3 months, I did that. All of a sudden, one Sunday, I go on a Sunday morning, haven't seen anybody, never met a single person. I knock on the door. All of a sudden, here comes a kid out the door. Well, hey, someone at least lives here. Yeah. He gets on a church bus. I'm thinking, cha-ching, we got a rider. Yes, perfect. And so then I went the next week. All of a sudden, not only does that boy come out, but his older sister comes out. And I'm thinking, wow, now we're in business. There's a bunch of kids in here. And so I'm inviting them every Saturday, going back, every Sunday, going back. A couple of months later, I knock on the door, and all of a sudden, for the first time, I meet someone on a Saturday. I'm like, yes. And I meet the mom. And I introduced myself. I said, I've been picking up your kids for church. And she said, I know. I said, you know, I'm just wondering if they're all coming in the morning. And here's what she said. She said, we're all coming. We're all coming. Not an response I expected from an adult here, adult lady. And of course, I'm like, you know, and I even asked, I said, we're all coming. Like, are you? Oh, yeah, I'm going to come too. And I'm thinking, all right, now we're talking. Now I got the whole family coming. And boy, that whole family started coming. Mom started getting involved in church, and she still faithfully comes to church, and she was coming to church with all her kids, and she thought, man, if I want to send my kids to church, I might want to come to church. It's amazing how that works, parents. If you come to church, your kids come with you, okay? So she's going to church every week. The kids are coming with her, And boy, God started working in her life. God started doing amazing things. She got saved. She got baptized. She got plugged into a Sunday school class. And one day, man, she's been riding my bus now for about 3 years. About a year ago, she came to me. She said, "Brother TJ, I want to do more for the Lord. I want to have a bigger impact on people. Brother TJ, how do I do it?" And of course, I'm like, you know, what a great question. And now I'm thinking of how can I teach her how to make a bigger impact? And I said, "Here's what you do." I said, "Such and such, you know people, right?" She goes, "Yeah." She's one of those people that, you know those people that know everybody, okay? You know people like that? She's one of those people. She knows everybody in the neighborhood. She knows the kids down the block. She knows the parents of the kids down. She knows everybody. I said, "Listen, you know people, right?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Here's what you can do." I said, "Do you want to make an impact?" I said, "Every Sunday when I come by, try to have someone new with you. Try to have someone new with you." I said, "Here's even a better idea." I said, "Let your kids have a slumber party on Saturday night." I said, "Have a slumber party." I said, "Listen," I said, "I'll make you a deal." I said, "Every person you bring, I promise that if you get them on that church bus, I'll make sure they hear the gospel." I said, "If you get them on that bus, I'll give them the gospel." And I said, "If they live around you, I'll make sure not only do I give them the gospel, but I'll start picking them up at their house and I'll start visiting them on Saturday just like I visit you guys." And boy, she got in on that. I'm telling you, there'd be Sundays where I come over and it's like an army coming out of that house. I'm just counting heads. 1, 2, 3, 4, 27. You know, it's like, they're just coming out. I've never seen them before. These kids live down the street. These kids live 20 miles from the house, yet they're spending the night having a slumber party just like I taught her how to do. She said, "Brother TJ, how else do I make an impact?" I said, "You need to invite every one of your family members to church." Next thing you know, all of a sudden, a month later, I see her mom come to church. She gets the gospel. She said, "Brother TJ, will you pray for my sister? I'm not sure she's on her way to heaven. Would you pray for her?" Month later, all of a sudden, here comes sister on the bus. Then a brother, and then a cousin. And can I say this? She's had 30 to 50 different people she's brought to church in the last year. You say, how did that happen? Because she wanted to make an impact. She wanted to make an impact. And listen, when you get sold out for God and you begin following God with your whole life, listen, can I say it is amazing the impact that God can use you to do. We're going to look at the life of Caleb here just for a few moments today. And I want you to notice a guy who sold out for God and lived a life of totality. And it was amazing the way that God used him to impact his family and to impact everyone else around him. Look at verse number 8. You say, "Brother TJ, how did he impact others? Where was this area of totality?" Look at verse number 8 if you're there. Joshua chapter 14. Here's what it says. "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt." Watch this. "But I wholly followed." I wholly followed the Lord my God. Look at verse 9. At the end of verse 9. "And thy children's forever because thou hast," what's that again? "Wholly followed the Lord my God." Look at verse number 14. Are you catching it? "Hebron therefore became inheritance of Caleb unto this day because that he wholly followed." Followed. See, listen, it's hard to make an impact for Christ if we're not following Christ. In other words, I can't skip the step of following Christ and expect others to be affected for Jesus Christ in my life. See, impacting others for Christ comes easier when we follow Christ like we should. This morning, we look at Caleb. We're going to find a man who was totally sold out in his fellowship of the Lord. And because he followed God with a passion and determination that we're going to look at this morning, God turned around and said, "Hey, I'm going to affect your life and I'm going to use you to impact all of those that are around you." Look at verse number 8 again. Number 1 this morning, Caleb followed God wholly. Wholly. Look at verse 8. Once again, we just read it. "But I wholly follow the Lord my God." Notice the spelling there, wholly. Not talking holy, holy, like as in free from sin, but as holy as in fully or completely. Fully or completely. How many of you in here, oh man, I'm scared to ask this. How many of you in here eat whole grain bread? Raise your hand. Oh, put your hands down. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Put your hands down. How many of you in here, you like the unhealthy white bread, the thick cut stuff? Raise your hand. Yes, there's my Christians out there. Amen. Yes. Listen, whenever I see that word holy, I always think of whole grain bread. You got that bread. You know what it's filled with? It's covered in. seeds, bird food probably. I mean, it's on the crust. If you get that real healthy, it's on the crust, right? It's on the man, ain't nothing worse than eating a grilled cheese and you bite into a seed. Come on now. Ain't nothing worse than that. But I'm telling you, in that whole grain bread, that thing is covered, it's filled, it's complete, it's got them seeds all over it. And can I say this, in the life of Caleb, you're going to find a guy who completely followed God. He was filled with it, it was all over his life, he desired to follow God. And can I say this, in a room this size, I guarantee you there are Christians in here today that you are sold out for the Lord God. And I praise the Lord for you. You're committed to God. You're faithful to church. You're here every single time the doors are open. I mean, you're all in on this whole church thing. You're all in on serving the Lord. But can I say this, in a room this size, I guarantee you there's people out here today that you're not completely sold out for God. The Bible says holy following, not halfway. It says holy following, not partially following. It doesn't say just a little bit. It doesn't say average. It doesn't say some in, some out. It says wholly followed the Lord God. Listen, I preach to teenagers all the time, and I tell teenagers this. I said, sometimes teenagers are like this with their hand. You ever find a little kid who has something in their hand, they tell you to try to get it out? You ever been there? Okay, and you're trying to, you know, peel their fingers, like, give me the toy, dude. You know, they got it in their hand. They're like, you can't get this. That's Christians sometimes. Oh, we'll give God all of our life except for whatever this is. Oh, God, I'm yours. I'll do whatever you want, but don't talk about that. For some, it's money. Pastor gets up here and preaches about money. You shiver. I mean, you literally, you can't, don't, Pastor. No. Don't do, you're talking about money again. Shame on you. It's like every time I hear him preach, he's talking about money. You say, I'll give anything, God, but don't touch my wallet. That 10%, no way, man. Some, it's bitterness. You're bitter at somebody for years. Something happened to you, and you can't let it go. And God keeps poking you on the heart, saying, you better let that go. You better drop that thing. And you say, no, that's mine. Anything but that, God, I'll do anything but that. For some people, you know, hey, they'll give the tithe, they'll pay their money, they'll come to church, yet when they step outside the doors, they can't give up their worldly lifestyle. Oh, I'll be a great Christian inside a church, but man, don't you talk about the words I say up there. Don't talk about what I drink. Don't talk about where I go. And we become childish in our Christianity when we sit there and say, you know what, I'll follow you, God, but not completely. Can I say this, Christians? I don't know what this is in your life, but can I say this? Open your hand and give it to them. Open your hand and let it go. I don't care what it is. Maybe it's your worldly lifestyle. Let it go. Live for Jesus Christ. Do right all the time. Maybe it's bitterness. Hey, let that thing go. Forgive somebody. Be like Christ. By the way, Christ forgave you. And I'll tell you right now, I've done a whole lot worse things to Christ than I've done to anybody. And yet he was willing to what? Die for me? That's right. Listen, you got to learn to let that stuff go. Caleb, wholly, completely, 100% followed God. Number two, look at verse number 8. Once again, number 2, Caleb followed God no matter who else did. Caleb followed God no matter who else did. Verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Remember the story. Those 10 men come back and they say, God, or they say the children of Israel, Moses, we can't go into the land. There's too big of giants. There's too big of problems. Yet Caleb, in the midst of all that, Caleb stood up next to Joshua and he said, hey, guys, God said we can do it. And I believe God. Let's take a stand and let's get this thing done. Yet no one else around did. I often teach our teenagers, we talk about peer pressure. Peer pressure, we've heard that word. Can I say this? Peer pressure is not just for teens. I know a lot of adults who struggle with peer pressure. Well, my family would, I don't know what they would think of me if I went to church 3 times a day or 3 times a week. Huh, they probably think you're a Christian. Woohoo. They might think you're going to live for the Lord. Man, I don't know what my employees would think if I invited them to church with me one Sunday. Maybe they think you'd care about their eternal destination. You know, I don't know what my children would think if I decided we were going to have family devotions at night. Once again, I look at Caleb. You say, how did he have totality in his life? He was willing to follow God no matter who else stood with him. By the way, in the world we live in today, you know it's only getting worse, correct? It's only getting worse. Are you going to stand whether or not other people do? Whether other people do or not? Caleb followed God no matter who else was willing to stand with him. Number three, I'm moving quickly. I've only got three more. Everyone alive still? Good, I hear people breathing. Yes. Okay. Number three. Caleb followed God's promises. Look at verse number 10. Look at verse number 10. Caleb followed God's promises. The Bible says this, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he had said these 40 and 5 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses. Now you remember in that story, those 10 men, the 12 men, Joshua and Caleb, the two good guys, they come out and God says, listen, because you all did not choose to go into the land that I promised you, because you did not choose, you're going to go back out and wander the wilderness, remember, 40 years. 40 years in the desert sounds like an awful 40 years, okay? You're going to wander that 40 years, and God said this, remember, Joshua and Caleb, you're the only two that are going to survive that 40 years. Everyone else, that old generation, the ones who didn't believe in me, God says, you guys, you're not getting in there. You're not going to make it. Can I say this? I think Caleb, every single day, as he traveled through that desert, was remembering his promise right here. I think it kept him up at night. I think he thought, God, you promised I'd make it. God, you promised I'd get back there. God, you promised that someday I'm going to enter that promised land. For 30 years, for 40 years, he thought about that all the time. Why? He was reminding himself of God's promise. He said, I remember that mountain that I walked on. You remember the story how he came out with grapes, the cluster of grapes, two men to carry them? He goes, I remember those grapes. And God, I remember that you promised I'd get back there. That thing consumed him. He thought about that all the time. Why? Because God had promised. Can I say this? You know what helps me in my Christian life? As I'm following God, I remember the promises that God has given me. Did you know the Bible is filled with promises from God? Now, we understand that God is all-powerful, yes, we understand that. We understand that God is a holy God, a perfect God, which means that when God promises something, it always happens. Always happens. It always comes true. Now listen, I have many friends, but listen, I'll tell you this. Sometimes my friends promise me things, and I think, yeah, right. You ever been there? Oh, I'll get this done. Yeah, right. We'll see when it happens. Can I say this? God never does that. When God promises something in the Word, boom, bada, bing, it happens. It happens. Here we go. Here's a couple examples. For instance, prayer. Do you know the Bible has many different prayer promises that when we pray, God answers our prayer? And God hears our prayer. For instance, the Bible says this, ask and it shall be given. Brother T.J., ask what? I don't know. What do you need? Ask and it shall be given. The Bible says this, you shall ask what ye will. What does that mean you're asking for? Whatever you want. And it shall be done unto you. It also says this, call unto me and I will. Not maybe, not might be, not oh, I might answer you. I will answer thee. There are promises about giving. For those of you out there struggling with tithing, Malachi 3:10, we're talking about giving tithes. God says this, he says, prove me. I always tell the teenagers, you know what that means? I dare you. You ever hear that? I dare you. In the area of tithing, here's what God says. I dare you to tithe. Because when you do, the rest of the verse, he says this, I will pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Ooh, that's a promise I want to get in on. There's promises about tithing. There are promises about wisdom. Oh, listen, I'll tell you right now, as a young man, I need wisdom every second of the day. Or else Brother Tita does stupid things. You can ask my wife about that, okay? There are promises about wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall, not might be given to you, it shall be given unto you. There are promises on comfort. There are promises on protection. There are promises on healing. There's promises on God's presence. And the list could go on and on. Can I say this as a Christian? What helps me follow God in totality is when I realize that the promises of God are for me. And as I live my life, I rely and I trust and I think about the promises of God. Sometimes we pray, but we don't actually believe God will answer. Oh, I've sat in our Christian school and Bible class and prayed and then said, Do you guys believe that he'll answer that? I guess. Oh, listen, let's not get in that habit of where we pray, yet we don't think God's listening. That's us talking to God. It's amazing. Number four, I wrote this down. Caleb followed God. Uh-oh, here's a great one. No matter his age. Caleb followed God no matter his age. Look at verse 10. The Bible says this, "Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. So he's now 85 years old. Watch what it says, verse 12. "Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the seas were great and fenced. So be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Look at verse 11 again. I think this is probably a lie from Caleb, but isn't it awesome? Look at this. Here's what Caleb says. "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me." Now, I don't think he was, but I think he thought he was. Okay, how many of you men have ever tried to lift up a box and your wife looked at you and said, "Don't do it. That's too big. Are you sure you should move that by yourself, honey?" "Oh yeah, man, got this." Then you threw your back out 5 seconds later. Okay? You were a little ambitious, overambitious of your former self. I know people who've come out and tried to play sports. I'm like, "Are you sure?" "Oh yeah, man, I used to play soccer all the time. That's great." "Are you sure?" And then next thing you know, they're laying on the sidelines 5 minutes later. It's great times. I don't laugh at them out loud, okay? But you know what? Caleb comes in, and he's looking over at Joshua, and you got to remember, Joshua's the same age as him, right? They were together on this thing. They're the only two left, the only two old guys who survived through the wilderness, and Caleb comes walking in. I wonder maybe if Caleb had a cane. Maybe he's bent over a little bit. He comes in there, Joshua going, "Man, what you want, man?" He's looking at Caleb like, "What's going on here?" Caleb comes in and says, "I want that mountain we walked on." And just so you know, as maybe he's hunched over on that cane, I can't prove that, but you can't prove me wrong either, okay? He's hunched over on that cane. He goes, "I'm as strong today as I was back then 40 years ago. I think Joshua went, Joshua probably snickered, "Yeah, right. Yeah, right." But can I say this? His age was not going to stop him from serving God. His age was not ever going to stop him from serving the Lord. Can I say this? There is no age barrier on serving Jesus Christ. It don't matter how young you are. It don't matter how old you are. God has a purpose for you. God's got a plan for you to do. And listen, until he takes you home, there's something that every single one of us can do. I was amazed this morning. I'll tell you right now why I'm down here preaching. I've got a senior in high school preaching upstairs to our junior hires. I got a senior in high school. You say, "Brother T, did he go to Bible college?" No, but he's learned the Bible. He's trying to learn to preach. Oh, I think God's going to use him this morning. I think God's going to use him this morning. Hey, I've been out with young boys, seventh grade boys, who walked up to old men and said, "Hey, do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd be on your way to heaven?" And that old man says, "No." That seventh grade boy looks up and says, "Can I take a couple minutes to show you some verses on how you could know for sure you're on your way to heaven?" I've seen old men say, "Yeah." I've seen seventh grade boys say, "Here's in the Bible where it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I've watched seventh grade boys from a distance lead old men. You say, "What just happened? That young man led them to Jesus Christ." Ooh. Once again, age, get that out of here. Serving Jesus is for everybody. Serving Jesus is for everybody. You know, by the way, can I say this? One thing I love about Grandview Baptist Church is our pastor. I think we all agree, Pastor Mutchell's been pastoring his church for 33 years. God has used him to do some amazing things. It'd be real easy for Pastor to kick back the recliner and take it easy in ministry. But I'm telling you what, you don't sit in the staff meetings I sit in. Ain't nobody on coast. And if we are, then we get told real quick, better figure it out. Why? Because here's a guy who's not going to let age stop him, and he's still got big things that God wants him to do, and he's going to keep on pushing until it gets done. I love what he said. I told Brother Burl this the other day. I said, "Pastor was in a staff meeting the other day." He said, "Someday, even if I'm not pastoring Grandview Baptist Church," he goes, "I want to be the Brother Burl Yates of this church, where maybe they just let me visit people in the hospital. Maybe they let me come up and pray. And you know what I thought about our pastor? I thought, there's a guy who's not going to let age stop him. He's going to keep serving the Lord. Can I say this? That was Caleb right here. That was Caleb hunched over. Hey, I'm as strong as I was back then. I can still serve God. I can still fight, Joshua. Give me that mountain that I want. Woo, I like it. Moving on, number five. I got two more. Are you with me still? Everyone good? Raise your right hand. Raise your left hand. Stretch. All right, good. Here we go. That's what I do with the teenagers. Boom. Immaturity. I know. It's all good. Number five, I wrote this down. Caleb followed God with a determination. We just read it, verse 11 and 12. Caleb walks in that day, even as an old man, and he says, listen, I remember that mountain. He goes, I've thought about it every day for the last 40 years while we were in that desert. Joshua, I've thought about it, and I'm telling you, I believe God wants me to have it. Joshua, I want you to give me that mountain. It didn't matter how old he was. It didn't matter the shape that he was in. It didn't matter who else wanted it. It didn't matter, probably even what Joshua says. Look at what it says again, verse number 12. Here's what he says. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Does that sound like a question to you? No. It was not, Joshua, please give it to me. It was, Joshua, give it to me. If Joshua would have said no, I think that cane would have been used for something else. Okay? I think Caleb was that determined that he felt that this mountain was from God, that no matter what happened, he was going to do it. Can I say this in our Christian life? That's how we ought to follow God, with the determination that nothing's going to stop us. The culture's not going to stop us. What worldly philosophies say is not going to stop us. What others around us think, that's not going to stop us. As Christians, we need to determine that we are going to follow God. No matter who else does, no matter what else happens, no matter what our government says, no matter what the politicians say is right or wrong, we are going to follow this book, and we're going to follow the God of this book, and we're going to do what God says we're going to do. And we need to live our life with a determination, with a drive, with a commitment, with a grit inside of us as Christians saying, hey, I'm going to serve the Lord with my life. I remember as a young college student, actually older college student, I believe, a teacher had mentioned in a class, a guest speaker had come into our class, a bunch of us in there, and he had asked us this question. He said, what's going to get you out of the ministry? Or what's going to stop you from serving God? What's going to stop you from serving God? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. My first thoughts was, nothing. I'm a young preacher boy. You've got to be kidding me. I'm in Bible college. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to attack hell with a squirt gun, man. Nothing's going to stop me. That was my first thought. And then he said, you know, he goes, no. He goes, I want you to think about it. And in fact, he said, right now, I want you to pray inside your heart and ask God, what is it that's going to stop you? And I'm like, whoa, this class is getting intense, you know. And I remember I prayed that prayer. I said, Lord, what's going to stop me? I'll never forget it. Something popped in my heart instantly. Instantly. At that time, I had just gotten engaged to my wife. And God says, what happens if something happens to her? Are you going to still live for me? I went, God said, what happens if I took your wife from you someday? What would you do? And I thought, whoa. Whoa. What's it in your life that's going to take you from God? What's it that's going to stop you from serving him? Oh, by the way, can I say this? There's people all over this world today who are dropping out of church. Whether it's bitterness, something happens to them, somebody gets sick, they're angry at God. And I remember that day that I determined, you know what, God? I said, I would hate that, and I hope to the Lord that never happens. But God, if that does happen, I'm still going to serve you. Can I say this, Christians? We need to determine that nothing's going to ever take us from God. We need to make a commitment inside our hearts, then we determine inside of ourselves to say, you know what, no matter what comes up, no matter what that thing might be that God speaks to your heart about, that that's not going to ever let you stop you from following your God. Can I say this? Caleb was determined. Nothing was going to stop Caleb from getting this mountain. Lastly, number six, and I'm done. Lastly, Caleb followed God all the way to his dream. Caleb followed God all the way to his dream. As you look at this story, we understand his dream. Caleb had been thinking about that mountain. He'd been thinking about that place for 40 years. And as he followed God, it was amazing the fact that God brought him to his dream. Can I say this? If you'll follow God, God will do amazing things in your life too. God will do amazing things in your life. I know I'm only 25 years old, And some of you got more wisdom in your right pinky than me. But I'll say this, in my little right pinky of wisdom that I have, I'll tell you this, I've learned that if I'll follow God, God will take care of me. I've learned that if I will trust in God and put my faith in Him, that God does unbelievable things. I look at my wife and I think, wow, I got really lucky. Thank you, Lord. I look at the place I work and the pastor I work for. I didn't even know where Oregon was growing up. Oregon, what is that? I grew up in Michigan. Oregon, is that another country? I had no idea, but I say this, I was following God, and guess where God brought me? Under an amazing man, an amazing ministry with amazing people that I get to work with every day of my life. You know what? It's amazing that when you follow God and you trust in Him, God will do amazing things in your family. God will do miraculous things at your job. God will do miraculous things with the coworkers around you. God will do miraculous things on the neighbors that you have in the city that you live in. But how does it happen? It happens when we follow God. Caleb followed God all the way to his dream destination in life. Can I say this? I think Caleb was a pretty happy man at the end. He thought, man, I've dreamed about this mountain. Can you imagine the first time he stepped foot on it? Maybe saw them grapes again. Oh, I remember those. He stepped foot on that mountain. He goes, whoo, it feels good to be back. He said, I've been thinking about this moment for 40 years. Sure, were there battles to come? Oh, yeah, we know the rest of the story. He had to fight for that a little bit. But can I say this? He followed God all the way to his dream. Can I say this, and I'll be done. If we will totally follow God, I rewind to my beginning opening. If we'll totally follow God, it's amazing the impact we can make. It's amazing the impact that'll happen in our families. It's amazing the impact that'll happen in our local area if we as Christians will totally follow God. I'll read you this very quickly, and I'll be done. Famous preacher J. Wilbur Chapman was in London, and he had the opportunity to meet William Booth. Of course, for those of you who don't know, William Booth was the man who started the Salvation Army. Dr. Chapman listened reverently as the 80-year-old William Booth spoke of the trials and conflicts and victories he had experienced. The American evangelist then asked the general if he would disclose his secret for success. William Booth hesitated for a second, and then tears came into his eyes and went down his cheeks. And here's what he said. He said, I'll tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, men with greater opportunities. But from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor of London, I made up my mind that he would have all of William Booth there was. And if there is anything of power in the Salvation Army today, it is because God has all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. Dr. Chapman said he went away from that meeting with William Booth knowing this simple fact. And here's the quote. Mr. Chapman said, the greatness of man's power is the measure of his surrender. Can I say this? What are you holding on to today that you won't give to God? What is it in your life that you will not totally just sell out and follow God? What's holding you back? Because I'll tell you this, Caleb realized real quick, because he followed God, God gave him his dreams. I wonder if that's you this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to have a word of invitation, a word of prayer. Pastor's going to come and lead us.